Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my incredible privilege to be able to bring the next installment of our Rising series from my heart to your home. So we're going to dive into God's word. Today is about devotion rising. I believe that God is doing a mighty and amazing thing through our lives in this city, that he's called us to this place, and he's called our church into a season of rising up into his purposes, into his desires, into his glory, into seeing his kingdom come in our city. Listen to this scripture from Isaiah chapter 60. It says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." God's glory is risen upon you today. God's grace is rising upon you today. God's desire and his tide is rising today. And the question is, will we rise to meet him? Will we rise in our expectations? Will we rise in our faith, as Pastor Ron preached to us last week? Will we rise in our devotion? Will we rise in our evangelism and rising in the favor of God? Are we going to rise with him? His light is shining on you. For behold, darkness has covered the earth. And so often our eyes only see the darkness, but God wants to break through and pierce through doubt, pierce through despair, pierce through everything that would hold us back from his glory and his rising, and wants to shine through the darkness today. Darkness has covered the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations, as we're surrounded by the nations of the earth here in New York City, the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. As God rises, as we go into a season of celebrating our risen King, as we go into a season of celebrating Easter Sunday is coming, April 4th, Easter Sunday is coming, we're celebrating our risen King, the chain breaker, the death breaker, the despair breaker, our risen King Jesus. We want to be right there with him, alive, fully free, fully set free. The light of God is shining through the darkness, and he's raising us up. Believe that he's called our church to be an influence here in this city, called our church to serve and love those who are down and out, serve and love those who are on the edges of our society, serve and love those who are kings and queens. God has called us here, and his light is shining on us. Friends, anything that's holding us back from fully serving God today, let's lay it aside. Let's lay it aside, because God has made us for more. He's designed you for more. More of his presence, more of his power, more of his freedom, more of the life and life to the full that Jesus came to bring us. Let's rise to meet God and all that he wants to do through each of us. God is rising up. Will we rise to his call? And as I think of God's movement through the earth, as I think of all that he wants to do through us, I get this picture of us grabbing a hold of him. When I was living in Edinburgh, I had the chance to fly a massive kite. And it was one of those kinds of kites that you don't fly it as much as it kind of flies you. You hang on for dear life, and you pray to God that you're able to hold this thing. And it pulled me straight across this field. And I just held on for dear life and wrestled this thing, and thank goodness I was able to hold on to it. And I get this sense that God's power is so much bigger than us. It's so much greater than us. But he's calling us right now to grab hold. Grab hold of who he is. Grab hold of who he is as we devote ourselves in prayer, as we devote ourselves in reading his word, as we devote ourselves to obeying him and into this community of Jesus movement, doing things through us as Every Nation. Will we devote ourselves? Will we grab onto this big God who's so far beyond anything that we could could comprehend, really. We don't wrap our arms around him. We don't fully understand God, but will we just apprehend him? Will we grab on and give it our all as we hold on to all that he's going to do through us? That is a picture of devotion, just grabbing on with all of our might, grabbing on to who he is and going for the ride that he's called us to. That is a picture of devotion. And what I believe God is calling us into is devotion rising. As we're in a season of rising, so there's going to be something in us that is not just something that God's doing, but something that we are responding to, that our devotion to him is rising. In this hurried and distracted and busy world, can we be a people who are set apart, who are called, who live wholly unto God? Can we be a people who are devoted to him? I believe the answer is yes. Let's grab on to him today. Let's devote ourselves to him today and see what he's going to do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, in the wake of Jesus' rising, we get a first glimpse into this Jesus community. And this is what they're doing. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. They, in the wake of the risen Jesus, as they saw somebody get up from the dead, and then not just get up from the dead, but then ascend into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came down, in the wake of all of this, what did? They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. And that Greek word, proskoureto, I know I'm saying that wrong. All my Greek friends, you can put something, how the pronunciation in the chat. But there's the in the Greek, there's this, there's a connotation in the word that we don't fully get in devotion. It speaks of consistent adherence, steadfastness, perseverance, devotedness, but all with this singularity of emphasis, a singularity of focus. And so it holds in itself these two thoughts of longevity, perseverance, pressing through, overcoming, devotion, but also with this singularity of focus. And so when I use the word today, devotion, I want us to think of those two things, just like I'm devoted to my wife. Singular focus. She's the only one for me. And I'm going to be married to her as long as I live. These are the vows that we took. It's devotion, singularity, longevity. We're devoted. Every Nation, New York City, as I think of the individuals in our church, your generosity, your heart after God, your love for this city, your love for our community, I think of a devoted people. You're devoted. You're set apart. You're singularly focused. Thank you for growing in this together. Perhaps you have not taken a step of faith and are not yet fully following Jesus. Today can be that day where you make that decision to be devoted to Jesus. The truth of the matter is, as we devote our lives to God, we're not doing it, we're not making the first move. Jesus has already devoted his life to us. God has already devoted himself to us. And I want us to consider for a moment the devotion of God. Because we don't choose to step in and follow God with all of who we are, to grab onto his coattails and go for that ride I was expressing earlier. We don't choose to do that in a vacuum. He's already extended this incredible hand of trust and devotion to us. When Jesus came into this world, it was an expression of God's love. He says, I'm all in for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says this, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for you today. God is for your life. God is for your freedom. God is for you breaking through and breaking out of anything that stands against you today. He's for you. Who can stand against you? Who can stand against you? God has devoted himself to you. And Paul goes on to write, He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how much more will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Graciously give us all things. There's this dirty, rotten lie that God is holding out on us, that if we were truly devoted to God, then he would shortchange us, that he doesn't really want our best in our life of freedom and expression. If we really followed God with our finances, that we would end up poor, because he doesn't really want our best. If we really followed God with our sexuality, then we would end up really not fully expressed and not fully the person that we're supposed to be. If we really followed God in giving our time into his body, into the church, then we're going to end up not fully expressing the life that we were designed to live. Do you see the insidious lie? But what this scripture is saying, he's given us all things. He's not withholding any good thing from you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you more. He wants to be devoted to you and bring you the full life of God. It's time today for us to tear down the lies and tear out the insidious lie that God is holding out on us and devote ourselves to him, because he has devoted himself to us. He's devoted himself to us. Think of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, lay aside every sin and every encumbrance, and let's run with endurance the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. This is the New Nathan translation. I don't know what, back when I memorized this scripture, I don't know which version I memorized. It may have been the NIV. I don't know. We'll figure it out in a minute. But, and put it up on the lower thirds, hopefully, maybe. But here's what I want us to focus in on. Who for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross because of you, because of his love for you. You are that joy at the end of the race. You are that thought that he fixed his eyes on. He fixed his eyes on you and on me. And he said, I will endure this cross to redeem. I will endure this cross, this trial, for the joy of a bride, the church. I will endure this moment of pain and crushing to see that prize won. And now we look back and say, Jesus, I will endure and I will run this race and I'm going to fix my eyes back on you. Let's lock eyes with our God. He's got so much love for you, so much grace for you. He's not withholding any good thing. He's devoted to you. And don't let anything tell you differently. In light of God's devotion, we devote ourselves back into God. We devote ourselves back to him. And just like I devote myself to my wife, I don't allow for any distraction to get in there. If there's something else that's calling my eyes to look away from my wife, I say, not today. I am devoted to her. On occasion, there's things that rise up in our marriage. You know, offenses, things that we have to overcome. And I don't allow that offense to get a foothold in my marriage. I don't allow it to be a bigger deal than my wife is to me, because I am devoted. I'm going to live with her and for her for the rest of my life. I'm devoted. And so there's distractions and there's obstacles, yes, but I am devoted, so I cut those things out. We're devoted to God. And in the same way, he's calling us to cut those things out. I'm devoted. You're devoted. This devotion plays out in a couple of different ways. The first is just in our relationship with God. I want us to think about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus says this, no one can serve two masters. We can't have two things making claims on our life. We can't have two things putting their hooks in us. We can't have two things putting demands on our time and on our attention. No two masters. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve. And then he makes the application point. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and money. The truth of the matter is, though, you can't serve God and yourself at the same time. You can't serve God and anything else. can't serve God in anything else. Now that sounds like God does not want you to have a wife, doesn't want you to have a family, doesn't want you to have a career. No. God wants to give you all things. Remember, God is devoted to you. He wants to give you all things, but we don't seek them first. We seek Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and surely all these things will be added unto you. We seek Him first, not for His hands, not for the blessings that He promises us, but for who He is. Seek Him first. We cannot serve God and money. Does God want to give us money? I think sometimes, but also God wants to give us contentment. Certainly contentment. And then once He has a content people, He can have a generous people. And once He has a generous people, then He can trust them with more. But you see how we already have skipped ahead? Let's just focus in on Him. Let's just be devoted to Him. Devoted to Him. So many things want to come against our devotion to God. So many things want us to distract us from the Almighty. When is the Almighty just not enough for us? How weird our heart has gotten where we go, well, how can I have the infinite God and all of this other stuff that I want to have? It's like going to a beautiful, I mean, for me, it's a steakhouse. The thing that I would love to eat most is a big steakhouse. And going, man, I can't eat all of this big juicy steak because then I can't fill up tonight on potato chips. Like, why would we complain about not having enough of the common when we have enough, when God wants to fill us up with His glory? Why would we complain about not having potato chips when we've got a steakhouse dinner? Why would we do that? Can God, just for a moment here, and for as a pattern in our life, be enough? Be enough. God, You're more than enough for us. Lord, we're devoted to You. God, may the cares of this world melt off of us in Your presence. God, may we be totally content and infatuated with You. God, thank You, Lord, for all of who You are. God, You're more than enough for me. I'm devoted to You. Thank You, Lord. We trust You with all of who we are. There's so many things that want to come against us and make a claim on our life. And it's incumbent upon us, if we're going to be devoted to Jesus, to say, no, I am devoted. There's so many sins that want to steal you away, steal your attention away from Jesus. Our sex and our sexuality are devoted to Jesus. Friends, we are not defined by this world. We're not defined by our desires. We are defined by the Almighty God who's spoken His word over us, and now it's time for us to live in it, to walk in it. I am devoted. You are devoted. We can't serve God and our sexuality. We can't serve God and our money. We can't serve God and our career. I'm devoted. I'm devoted. Singularly, long with longevity and long suffering, I'm focus like a laser in on God. I'm living for Him. Temptations will come, but our response is, I'm devoted. I'm living solely for You, God. Nothing else will do. The second thing that we're devoted to is we're devoted to His word. This is, as Pastor Ron spoke about, the Logos, our primary source of revelation, and it's from this Logos that we receive the Rhema, the word for today, the fresh word. But we always have to come back to this word. We root our life in this word. We root our understanding of God in this word. There's so many distractions that are trying to get us off of this word and onto other things and onto the daily news and onto our social media and onto the word and the rhythm of the day. But friends, we need to be devoted to God's word. Listen to Jesus when Satan came to tempt Him. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he answered Satan. Satan was tempting Him to, after 40 days of hunger and fasting in the wilderness. He says, turn these rocks into bread. And Jesus' response, it is written from God's word. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What is Jesus saying here? Satan, I'm devoted. I'm devoted to what's written in God's word. I'm devoted to living by the word of God. And as I live by the word of God, it's feeding me, and I've got food you don't know about. I'm devoted. He's quoting Moses. Jesus is quoting Moses here, where God had developed a dependency and a devotion on himself with the people of Israel. After 40 years, Jesus had just done 40 days, the children of Israel had done 40 years of living off of manna in the wilderness. And he said, I did this so that you would know man does not live by bread alone, but by every word spoken from the mouth of God. And Jesus takes that revelation and brings it into his present circumstance. And now we can take the revelation of Jesus, built on the revelation of Moses, and start to bring it into our present circumstance, over every temptation, over every distraction. No, man shall not live by the news. Man shall not live by the depression. Man shall not live in the latest thing that's telling us this is what you've got to do. Man shall live. I shall live. This woman or this man of God shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, because I am devoted. You're devoted. So what do? The first thing we've got to do is we've got to read it. We've got to read this. Get it in us daily. The more I read it, the more I realize I don't understand it, and that's okay. I'm reading through it all day, every day, it seems like. I'm looking through my Bible. I'm reading my Bible. I'm devoted to that time in the morning and at night when I'm reading. And what I'm seeing is that it takes a lifetime to truly understand God's word, the historical context, where it came from, who was writing, when and why, what they were communicating to the original authors or audience, how it's transformed in the revelation of Jesus, how we apply it to our lives today, what Jesus is speaking freshly through his rhema word to me and to you today. I'm continually devoted to God through his word, and I'm encouraging you, have that relationship too. If you pick up your Bible and it doesn't make sense at first, that's okay. That's okay. The first time I read through my Bible, it barely made sense at all. It's been a lifetime of devotion to God's word where I can start to see it and start to understand it. And I'm on a journey continually discovering more about it. Devote yourself singularly and over a long period of time to God's word. Secondly, we memorize it. Psalm 119:11 says, I've stored up your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Get a storehouse of God's word in your heart. Memorize it. Then we speak it out. Joshua 1:8, as Moses was turning over the command to Joshua, he said, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Don't let it depart from your mouth, meaning you keep it right there. You're chewing on it all the time. When people are asking you, hey, Joshua, what do we do? You say, well, this is what God has told us to do. This is how God has told us to act or respond. He's got it right there in his mouth. Don't let it fall out of you. Don't start speaking your own words. Get the word of God in your mouth. Speak it. Meditate on it. But you shall meditate on it day and night. And meditation is, again, that idea that we're focusing in on the words. Even as I've quoted some scripture, say like Matthew 4:4, what we are called to do as Christians is Christian or Hebraic meditation. It's not emptying our minds, but chewing on something in our minds, swirling it around in our minds. So Matthew 4, Jesus answered, it is written. Wow, can we just take a moment, meditate on it is written. Think about that. Before the foundation of the world, God had something written. Jesus, the Word, was something written in his identity, and he was going to write it through an experience, and then he was going to write it through an author, and then he was going to rewrite it when the Word that had it in his heart before creation became flesh and lived it out and then spoke it to the enemy as a weapon against him. Wow, it is written. It is written. We just got there through a little moment of meditation. My heart has been filled with the word of God. I hope yours has as well. We meditate on it. Finally, we live it. This, again, going back to Joshua 1:8, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We read God's word. We memorize God's word. We speak God's word. We meditate on God's word, and we live God's word. We are devoted. Thirdly, we're devoted to each other. Again, that early Christian community devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, breaking of bread, fellowship. They were devoted to one another. And this is something that is deep in God's heart. When Jesus was with his disciples, he prayed a prayer for us that we would be devoted to one another. Jesus said this in John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. He says, I don't ask, praying to Father God from earth. He's asking for us on earth. He says, I do not ask for these only, meaning the 11 disciple apostles that were with him at that time. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. That's us. That's us, Every Nation, New York City. Jesus was praying for us. I don't pray for just these 11 dudes. I'm also praying for those who will believe in me through their words, that they also may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you've sent me. Every Nation, we're called to be devoted to one another. Sometimes offenses can rise up in a church. It's only natural. We're all humans here. We all make mistakes. We all made mistakes. We probably all made mistakes today. I probably made several mistakes in this message. And I'm asking, would you be devoted more to me than my mistakes? Man, when we let offense get the better of us, what we're saying is that the offense is a bigger deal than the call of God to love a brother or a sister overall. The offense will come, but our response, just like the offense will come in a marriage, our response is no, I'm devoted. I will make it through this because I'm more devoted to living and seeing that person live with me and making it through as we fight for the good fight of faith and encourage one another. I'm more devoted to that person than I am to my rightness, than I am to that offense, than I am to my pain. I'm more devoted to that person than I am to this. I am devoted. Last week, I forgot a family member's birthday. And it hurt them. It hurt them badly. And I called them up and I apologized or repented. And I've set a lot of reminders in my phone since then. But they said, you know, I've got to forgive you because you're my family. They're devoted to me. Thank God for grace. Thank God for devotion. Thank God that the relationship is worth more than the pain. They're devoted. And friends, you and I, we're called to be devoted to each other, to believe the best, to speak the best, to hope the best, to endure it, to call each other up. And I'm not saying that we just push down and push aside our problems. I'm saying that we bring them up at the rate of grace. We bring things up at the rate of grace. Meaning, I'm not going to over, if I just went home and I just listed out all of the least favorite things about my wife, Ailsa, that could really hurt. That's not the rate of grace. That's not the rate of God's work in her and God's work also way more on me. That's not how God works. When we come into the family of God, he doesn't say, okay, right, I'm glad you're here. Sit down. Let me tell you about all the stupid things that you've done in your life. Let me tell you about all the ways that you've broken the commandments and you've hurt my heart. He doesn't do that. He says, welcome. Think about that father welcoming the son, the prodigal son, throwing the robe around them, putting the shoes on his feet, giving them the ring. He starts raising them up, changing them, transforming them. What? At the rate of grace. That's how Jesus operates with me and you. That's how the Father God operates with me and you. He changes us from the inside out, not by bludgeoning us, but by transforming us at his timing, at his rate, and at also our rate of obedience, let's be honest. I'm not saying that we just ignore the problems. No, we bring them up at the rate of grace. We let also the problems work on us. As iron sharpens an iron, so one man sharpens another. What does that mean? That means that there's roughnesses in us that are going to meet and going to transform each other, and it's going to be heat and sparks and energy, and it's going to be painful in a moment, but there's going to be transformation brought through it as we bring our lives together because we are more devoted to each other and God's vision for us than we are to the pain in the moment. We're devoted. Finally, we're devoted to God's mission. We're devoted to God's mission. This extraordinary love of God does not stop here with us. Oh God, thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us. Thank you, God, for giving us your Son and raising us up so that we might be seated with him in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you've given us a mission. And you've given us a fresh word for our city, fresh encouragement for our friends and our family. This word does not stop with us. And next week, Pastor Sheena is going to be talking about how evangelism is rising. But right now, just in our heart, I want us to join with God with what he is doing and start to pray for our city and start to pray for our friends and start to pray for our own hearts that in this moment, we would be devoted fully and wholly and only to him. God, thank you that in this season you're calling us to rise. We want to rise with you, God. We want to rise with you. Thank you, Lord, that every thing that is coming against our life right now, you are causing it to fall off. Every sin, every encumbrance, God, I pray that it would be torn off so that we can run with endurance the race that's set before us. God, thank you that there is freedom in you. Father, thank you that you're not withholding any good thing from us. We trust you, Lord, with our whole lives, with our whole hearts. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, today is the day to do it. Don't delay. Don't delay. Give your life to Jesus. Turn yourself over. Repent from your sins. Turn from all of the other things that you've been devoted from. Give yourself to him. And let us know that you did it by texting us. Text our number, 844-962-3110. Just text the word Jesus to us and we'll know, hey, you're wanting to devote your life to Jesus. Today is the day to do that. Today is the day to throw in with him. There's nothing better. There's no one who wants more good in your life than Jesus. There's no one that's given up more to see you rise than Jesus. No one. Nothing. We can trust him. And we can be devoted and live for him. God, thank you that as we devote ourselves to you, God, that you're going to cause that life and power of God to flow through us, and it doesn't stop with us, but it's going to flow out to our city. It's going to reach many. God, thank you for New York City, Connecticut, New Jersey, Long Island, Staten Island, the surrounding area. God, that you are flowing through us. God, we open ourselves up to you. We devote ourselves to you, your word, your people, and your mission. God, use us like never before. We trust you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.